FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz, and it's that time of the month. It's time for Mickey Fulp's Major Monthly Market Review. We're talking about March 2015. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Coming today from beautiful, sunny downtown Vancouver.
The weather must be getting nice there since Vancouver has the nicest weather in Canada, right?
Well, it does have the nicest weather in Canada, no doubt. And it's warming up and spring has sprung, it looks like. But it still could cloud up here and rain for 2 weeks solid. So you never know.
Yeah, we do know that about Vancouver. But the weather has clouded up a little bit on the stock markets, hasn't it?
Well, we really very much had a lackluster month in the major markets, down more or less 1-2% over the month. And this is the end of the first quarter. So that was really a mixed bag too. S&P 500, Dow basically treaded water for the first quarter. NASDAQ lost more than 1% over the month, but it was up 3.5% over the quarter. Russell 2000 up 1.5% over the month, 4% of the quarter. Meanwhile, on the commodities-driven Toronto Exchange was actually up about 2% over the quarter. The Venture Index did not do quite so well. It basically gave away the gains that it had in February of plus 4%, lost 4%. Yeah, that's the usual phenomena post-PDAC, but we really haven't seen the so-called PDAC curse this year. Venture Exchange basically treading water. And finally, the Emerging Market Index was down 1.5% or so over the month. And it has been treading water for the most part.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll just have to see if markets have peaked, which seems to be the consensus out there, or perhaps they're going to come back for more. My personal opinion is I don't think we've seen the end of the bull market. But then again, I don't get paid for my opinions on these matters. So now we head over to the currencies and same old, huh?
Well, it was quite a month once again for the U.S. dollar. The dollar index treaded water throughout most of February in the 94-95 range, but it took off on another exponential run, touched 100 before it backed off. It closed the month at 98 and change. That's still probably at least a five-year high. And it was up a whopping 8% over the quarter. So, of course, the euro was down a significant amount. It now trades at about $1.07. And, geez, that is a low longer than I can remember, probably since the global economic crisis. There's been some talk that it's working toward par. We'll see if it gets there. Treasury, 10-year treasury bonds fell once again below 2% interest rate as old Yeller and the Fed keep waffling from announcement to announcement about increasing interest rates. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. And finally, we got Bitcoin down 4%. In looking at our charts on Bitcoin, there has not been a positive two-month span since it went exponential in the late fall of 2013. So as we say always, not our cup of tea, Bitcoin.
Well, the dollar just keeps running along there, and you got to wonder how much longer it can keep going before something major cataclysmic happens to the global economic system, because currencies just aren't supposed to do what's been happening here.
Well, it has been a phenomenal rise, and you know, I take the tactic that the world looks at the dollar right now as the lesser of all evil, because what other currency do you want to be in?
None.
Old.
Yeah, that's really it. But yet we go to our metals and not feeling the love there for precious metals, are we?
Well, not really. Gold was down 2% over the month. It's been very range bound between somewhere in the 1100s to somewhere in the 1200, 1120, 1220, I think, over the last 6 weeks or so. And it's had very low volatility. But what really has happened, and we talked, I think, in February, at least in January, about this positive correlation of gold and the dollar, which is quite unusual. And finally, in mid-February, that reversed, and we've got a very good negative correlation going now with the dollar index, and as things should be. So it seems right now, as gold goes the dollar, in the opposite sense, so goes gold. And once again, that has to do with the machinations of old Yeller and the Fed.
Yeah. Then we look at silver, not a whole heck of a lot happening there.
No, it was up 1% over the month, but I viewed that as a correction for the ratio. The gold-silver ratio has now fallen to 71. It touched 75, so that made sense to me. Platinum was down 4%, and that ratio, platinum to gold, maintains less than 1. And, of course, for me, that's a signal to buy platinum, and I actually did that a couple of times this month, walked about three blocks and bought some bars at the Vancouver Currency and Bullion Exchange.
One of the few places you can actually just go and do that and buy physical.
Yeah, and it's very easy here. So, and the markup's good, you know. For gold, you're maybe paying a little bit more than a percent and a half on a one-ounce bar. Coins, of course, have a bigger markup, but that's pretty good. So, and then finally, in the precious metals, palladium was down almost 10%. And I looked at it as simply a correction because it got ahead of itself and certainly ahead of the other precious metals.
And the auto industry just keeps humming along with the sub auto loans, and demand for those metals is really strong.
Well, it certainly is. You need palladium to make a catalytic converter. So finally, dealing with the metals, another good month for copper. Closed the month at 275, up 2%, and looks like it's stabilized in that area. And that really very much, I think, reflects the overall world cost of production. It's established a base of a 250 floor, and despite the rising dollar, copper has maintained. So in other currencies, it's actually gained. And then we've had this El Nino event in northern Chile. Geez, I wish I was there right now. I was there in 97, and it's amazing to see the Atacama Desert verdant green and totally in bloom with multicolored wildflowers, but some big flooding there, and that's going to affect copper production. So
I'd love
I'm
to
bullish.
Go there too. I would love to go there.
Yep. So I'm looking for a stronger short-term price for copper.
Hey, look at our ratio. Well, I guess we have to get to that a little later, but we should look at our ratio of gold to West Texas Intermediate.
Yeah, and that's about 25, so your lead-in's good there. You know, that's very skewed from the normal 13. But it was a very volatile month in oil with a high of 51.50, a low of 43 and change. My call of the bottom of oil back in mid-January of 44, that got tested, and it actually went a little lower this time, but bounced right back up. The encouraging thing to me in regard to oil right now is very reactive to geopolitics. We saw the Saudis bomb the Yemenis, and that sent oil back over 50. And we would certainly hope for a stronger oil price. That said, it was closed the month at 47.60, minus 4%. The Brent WTI ratio is closing. That arbitrage is, but it's still, Brent lost 10% over the month. That gap still remains historically high. And as you and I have discussed, probably has solely to do with the fact the U.S. still can't export oil. So we're sitting with reservoirs full and tankers offshore and looking for some place to put our light crude, which continues to set records. March was another record month for U.S. oil production. We would expect, I think, by mid-summer for that to start to dwindle down as drilling rigs are still operating. Drilling rigs continue to go down.
Right. Then we got what's next here?
Henry Hub. And Henry Hub was down another 5% over the month. So it's close at 264. And that looks to me like just a seasonal trend. You know, the Northeast is starting to be into springtime. And, you know, we get this low in April and May and even into June before the summer air conditioning season starts. And so we would expect Henry Hub to not do well over the next couple of months.
Sure.
Uranium touched $40 once again, but just touched it and went back down. But it traded the entire month, essentially no volatility at $39 and change. But, you know, I think looming on the horizon, the mid to long term, 70 new reactors under construction. And the U.S. utilities have not participated in the market. They've been using up stockpiles. So we will expect them to reenter the market with a medium-term view for security's sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. I guess that's about it for this month. So volatility, we're still there. Energy markets still looking pretty jumpy there. And... well, we're just going to have to see where they go in the coming months.
That's true, Kerry. And that wraps it up for this month. And we apologize for the delay in getting this out. We got hit with Easter weekend. I was gone for a long weekend and you've been very busy. And we actually got delayed on this interview because they're demolishing an apartment up above and the jackhammer got us for a while, but it looks like we got the interview and we'll get it up and online quickly, I think.
Yep, quickly we will. And Mickey, thanks, and hey, till next month.
All right, good talk to you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.